Reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver.
Welcome to MotoX Addicts. This is The Fix, where Dan Lamb and I, Chris Cooksey, discuss anything and everything going on in the motocross and supercross industry. This is our version of reviews, previews, and interviews. Anything goes as long as it's the truth. So sit back and get your fix.
The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns.
Dan Lamb, what's happening? It's been a while, dude. I miss your voice. How you doing?
Stop lying.
No, we just text, so I never get to talk to you. I never get to yell at you. I never get to tell you you're an idiot. I'm not gonna lie, I miss that. My self-esteem's down because I haven't been able to berate you.
You still tell me I'm an idiot by text all the time. So I'm sure that, you know, tied you over until the next time you talk to me.
It's just not the same. And then we've had so much happen. Yeah. Anyway, so Monster Cup, man, how crazy was that? It was. I like that race. What did you think of your boy Cooper Webb on the KTM first ride?
Well, I'm pretty sure on our pre-show, which isn't up anymore, we had to take that down due to technical problems, so I won't look that bad ever because no one will ever see it. But I think I put Webb on the podium. I had a feeling, you know, a lot of times these guys, they switch bikes, they, you know, switch something, and they come into it, and they're hot, and they show and prove pretty quickly. And I kind of had that feeling that that's what was going to happen with him in that KTM. It looked like it fit him better, and he just needs to do something. And he did nothing. So what do I think? I watched it. This is the first time in like 4 or 5 years that I didn't go. And I don't think they showed him very much at all because he was always buried in the pack. So I don't really know how he rode. I didn't get to see it much. But results-wise, I mean, he was non-existent.
Yeah, and people, if you're confused on what we're doing here, because, you know, we usually do the power rankings. Since there's not really a race coming up and we just wanted to chat during the off-season, we'll be doing a few of these. And we're touching on off-season topics and just kind of running it down, bullet-pointing things that happened, you know, topics on Vital, yeah, just that kind of crap. So, although, and speaking of Vital and topics, I'm surprised nobody else saw this. I didn't see it personally, but my old man, he watches the starting gate really close. He's a big Cooper Webb fan. He was just a couple rows up on that side. Apparently, he tried to use Coldenhoff's move and steal a gate in the third Monster Cup moto. And I'm not sure which privateer it was. My dad wasn't sure either, but they had words, and Coop ended up walking off after the dude took his gate and apparently flipped him the bird. So that may or may not happen. I tend to believe my old man. He's pretty accurate when it comes to stuff like that. But
Cooper flipped the privateer a bird, or the privateer flipped? Oh, yep. I definitely believe that. That's Cooper's go-to.
Yeah, it sounded exactly so. Like I said, it is hearsay, so I did hear it. But I'm going to go ahead and say my old man's pretty solid when it comes to that stuff. And I don't know. Really, you're going to flip a guy off your first time on KTM when you're having a shit night? You're going to flip off a privateer? That's not good. That's not.
Was it how do they do the Monster Cup? Is it by the last moto? Like, let's say you're racing, you know, a three-moto format in amateurs, you'd obviously – you know, the first moto is by draw straws or, you know, rock, paper, scissor. In pros, obviously, it's by lap time. Is the second moto by how you finished in the first and the third moto by how you finished in the second? Is that how they go to the line?
That's how they did it. I don't know if there's anything set in stone in the Monster Cup. But, yeah, that's how they did it at this last one. So okay. And remember, he tangled with Bowers and was way back.
Yeah.
So he had poor gate pick. And yeah, but I was extremely disappointed. I saw him in the elevator heading up there, and he seemed like in good spirits. I thought we'd see, like you said, a little bit of fire out of him, and I was disappointed to see the exact same guy I saw last year. Disappointing.
At least a flash of brilliance, like maybe a third Nemoto or a whole shot and run the pace, or just anything, maybe a quick lap in practice, just anything throughout the night, the day, that stood out as something that says, okay, yeah, Cooper's an elite guy, and it's in him. But we saw nothing that said, you know, that would lead us to believe that this change is going to be productive or positive. There was nothing all day, all night. There was nothing that said this is a good move. And you know, I'm not expecting miracles. I didn't expect a 1-1-2 or, you know, him to battle, but just something that said this move's going to work. He's going to like this bike better. This is going to be a better year. It just looked like more of the same as what we've seen from Cooper of just kind of going through the motions. And nothing that says he's a top tier rider. I don't even know that he's one of the best second tier riders at this time. And that's where I'm kind of disappointed.
And I don't know if it's the orange gear, but typically when a guy goes on the, well, no, I think you'll see where I'm going with the orange gear. Typically Alden's guys look super thin and skinny and like he starves them. It didn't look like that with Cooper. I don't know if you saw him, but his face almost, I'm not saying he was chubby. That's not what I'm saying, but he didn't have the Alden program.
Well, he hadn't started boot camp yet. The boot camp started, I think the next week or the week, 2 weeks after. So boot camp, he hadn't even, I mean, other than going to, you know, the Baker's factory and doing a little bit of riding with their riders, he hadn't done really any of the program yet. So, you know, I guess it doesn't show on what's going on with Alden, but what it showed me was that the KTM really wasn't an immediate positive thing in his program, which I thought it might be. You know, whether Alden works or not, I guess will remain to be seen come January, 5th or 6th when the season starts.
Yeah. You know what, though? If he doesn't do anything with this KTM, dude, that might be it for Cooper Webb. I don't see him. Nobody's going to give him another shot. There's too many good guys out there. There's Dean Wilson. There's Justin Bogle, who is back riding again after his surgeries. There's too many guys available that are around that possibly have better upside. I just think he really, really needs to show some serious flash, or he might be out of a career.
Yeah, this will be his last shot as a factory gig if he doesn't do anything. He's not, you know, like a lot of times there's guys that are just hired because they have, you know, that they're fun, they're great with fans. They, you know, the Brock Tickles, the Kevin Windhams, I guess Windham's not a good one, but guys that when their results drop off, they keep them around because they're awesome with fans. They have a great fan base. They have great social media. They have all this. Cooper's not one of those guys. The only thing that's going to keep Cooper alive and relevant is results, and he needs them badly.
Yes, yeah, I disagree with that a little bit. I do think he is one of the personalities in the sport when he's winning, and when he's losing, he's flipping people off. He's still a personality, but at some point, personality alone won't keep you a ride. I mean, look at Joey Savacci. Listen, I don't know him personally. He might be the nicest guy in the world. I'm very, very high on his 450 skills, but let's be honest, people don't like him.
I want to go back and talk about the Cooper thing just a minute more about, let me be more specific about what I'm talking about. He does have a great attitude as far as when he's winning. His attitude is awesome. He's in your face. He'll tell you how it is. I love interviewing him. He never holds back. He tells it how it is, and his interviews are awesome, but they only work if he's winning, because his attitude when he's not winning is horrible. He avoids the media. He runs away. He won't talk to you. He's definitely negative. So I love his attitude, but that attitude that people love only works when he's winning.
Yeah, that's true. But in his defense, last year at Glendale, he was not having a good year. He did not want to be there. That dude showed up and did every interview. So I don't think that's always true, or at least I've seen him face the music.
It's been true with me that when he's not had great results, I have a hard time finding him. And I know that's kind of true with a lot of guys, but if you're going to be a second-tier guy, you know, a 10th to 5th, 10th to 4th place guy and want factory deals, you got to be that guy that people really like.
Yeah, but, dude, in his defense, when he was up there in Glendale, I saw some very notable journalists walk past him because they're like, I don't want to talk to him. He's probably not happy. Well, no, he's up here. He's up here to talk. Like, I get it. I get it that, yeah, I don't blame him solely on that. Yeah. You know, I do think he is one of the personalities, and I just think his skills need to get better. There's just too many other guys with that skill set or better.
Oh, if he's winning, he's probably one of my top picks as my favorite guy to hear from. I love his in your face, tell it how it is. I love that. I love the way he talks. I love his confidence. There's very Bob Hanna-esque the way he talks about other riders. He doesn't give a fuck what he says about, you know, Bill or Bob. He'll just say what he's thinking.
Yeah, I want to take Joey Savacci, what he did at Monster Cup. If Cooper does that, dude, we're all talking about him. We're all ecstatic. That's what he needs to do. Just, he doesn't have to dominate, but he needs to do what Savacci did and show some flashes. Who, and Savacci, I'm going to go ahead and say, out of the four rookies entering, Hill, Osborne, and Plessinger, I believe Savacci will be the highest of those four finishers.
You know, I've already bet against that with you, so I don't agree.
Yeah, I want to. That's why I kind of brought that up. I want to make sure you remember our bet. 20 was it 20 versus 40? Is that what we got?
Yeah, I gave you 2-1, and I get the field, and you get Joey Savacci. So
you get three. You get three guys. You get the field.
Well, the field of rookies. I mean, yeah, I get the rest of the rookies, which would be the field.
Yeah. What do you think of the other guys skipping Monster Cup?
I think it's quite normal. I mean, Aaron was preparing for Motocross of Nations. Zacho, I don't know. I mean, is he really back? I mean, I know he's riding, but is he prepared and ready to go? Hill said he just didn't want to, which is, to me, surprising because Hill is really good at that event.
Yeah, that's alarming to me that it's a Supercross race. That's his event. The three shorter motos, the fact that he didn't want to ride it, I'm sorry, that's a huge red flag.
He almost won it in, what was it, 14? He went 2-2 on when he was a 250 rider on the KTM? Yeah, I mean, that's what I expected from Cooper. That's really what I was envisioning. That was the first time Hill had raced a 450. It was the first time on the KTM 450. He might have been on a 350, but I think it was a 450. And he went out and went 2-2 in the first two motos, and then and Trey went 1-1, and then Trey blew up, and Hill both blew up, and Millsaps, I think, won the thing overall. But that's what I was picturing with Cooper Webb, was a night like what Hill had the first time he raced the 450.
Yeah. Well, and, yeah, so that's pretty much the rookies. I was disappointed. I really wanted Hill to be there. That was the guy I really wanted to see at Monster Cup. Osborne, like you said, coming off injuries. Who knows? I haven't heard anything about him. It's been very quiet.
It always is in the off season with him. I don't, you know, there's not a lot of drama with that guy. He's a family man now with kids, and he just kind of, he really just keeps to himself. And before he was winning, Zach really, other than doing podcasts and stuff, he really wasn't someone that got a lot of talk.
Yeah. So, yeah, you think his style, that rear turning, is going to work on the 450?
All I can go off is what I've seen him. He looked really good at that SMX Cup, but that was like a sand, weird arena cross type thing. But I go back to 08 or wherever it was, and when we were at Donington, maybe 09, I think it was, on the 450. I think I've brought it up before. He was amazing on the 450. I mean, he went from crashing in the first turn to passing Team America and passing Ferry at the end and finishing like seventh in a moto. The guy can ride a 450. People seem to think his size or something. He's probably my pick is the top guy for 19 on the 450. I don't know that he'll be the best 450 convert. I think that's going to go to Plessinger. But I think for 19, my pick would probably be Osborne.
Fair enough. And I've heard a lot of other people saying that too. I've heard and it's funny with Osborne. It's not ever in the middle. It's either he's going to be the best rookie or he's going to throw it away. That's all I've heard. I think he will be fast. Yeah, it's Osborne. He's going to go for it. So now this event created a lot of controversy in the fact that they give away $2 million. It was given specifically by Feld and Monster. Feld paid Eli and Monster paid Jesse. Is it Hebert or Hebert? Like the old quarterback, Bobby Hebert.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Jesse Hebert, my man, that guy was awesome. The kid that won, I'm so happy that kid won $1 million, but it brings up a very valid point. If they have that much money available to give away for one race, why can't it be infused into the series, you know, the overall purse?
Good question. I mean, you think about it, that's what, for 17 rounds, that's like 50, I don't know, my math.
It's
is
a lot. Math.
It's like 55,000 a round, I mean, or something like that, that you could put in to the series and would be huge. Maybe just put, I mean, you can't put $1 million in a privateer fund, but if you, look, no one thinks Fell doesn't have an extra $5 million laying around. I don't think it's a surprise that they can fork out $1 million and have no problem with it. I think they should be able to do this fan thing and pay the damn privateers a little bit or up the purse a little bit. I personally think the purse should be the same from 1st to 20th. If you make the main event.
Whoa.
I do.
That's called communism, bro.
Okay. Well, yes. It's called socialism, but that's not
easy there, Commie Dan.
That's not my point. My point is, do you think Jason Anderson gives a fuck about a $15,000 check?
No, I agree, but I still don't think you should do that. If you win, you should get more money, despite whether he needs it or not. But I do agree. Now, if they had that $55,000, they could add it throughout the bottom of the series and make it a little more equal. And I do believe there should be a socialist payout in Supercross. But will it happen? I don't know. Yeah, I would like to see it.
I just think that the guy, I don't know. I get it. Like, obviously, the guy that wins is going to get the spoils. He's going to get the big bonus. He's going to get $100,000 from his team. He's going to get, you know, $50,000 between from Fly and Alpine Star and all these other teams and all these other sponsors. But as far as the paycheck from Feld, I mean, they're all doing the same job for Feld.
Yeah. Well, here's ideally what I'd rather like to see than it go in the purse. What do you think it would cost to run Teddy Park's program for a year? $2 million? $1 million? What does it cost to put 10 dudes out there, haul their bikes, give them their gas, similar to like what he does? Why can't that be available for a certain number of privateers if you finish a certain place? You guarantee yourself a field, and it just gives a lot more opportunity for these guys to make money. What do you think about Feld doing that? Why can't they partner with somebody like that?
That would be awesome. I mean, get rid of the thing that we all know is almost criminal, the entry fee. Stop charging these riders to perform and make you money. It's just so backwards. It just reminds me of like those pyramid schemes where you pay to go to work. It's weird.
I'm okay with it if you do it like this. There's no entry fee. Now, if they want to take certain fees, like the Nevada Athletic Commission, when they pay the fighters, they have certain fees and licensing that comes out of their purse. So, yeah, go ahead and grab that out of their purse before you give them their check. But it should probably be less than what it is, and you shouldn't have to pay it in advance.
Yeah, like, I don't blame Feld. It's been the thing forever in this sport, and in a lot of motorsports. I mean, there's an entry fee. I don't blame Feld for that. I mean, Pace did it before him, Live Nation, whatever it was, and, you know, Goodwin, and everybody that's ever promoted this sport, and outdoors, there's entry fees. There's always been entry fees. I just don't think that they should be there. I think they need to go bye-bye. And the purse obviously needs to be figured out as well. A way to get lit, and I never thought about that. That would be, you asked me how much you think it costs. I have no idea. Gas? I mean, really, it doesn't cost much to have a rig that can put, you know, 20 bikes in and take them from race to race to race. That can't cost that much. It's gas and maybe a driver, and it's definitely something that's feasible for Feld, and yes, it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, and the privateers show up just like Teddy Park's program. You bring your own mechanic, you bring your own gear. I mean, there's certain things. They have to have your own bike. It's not a full ride, but it's something so that those dudes can get home on the weekends and train the way they're supposed to instead of trying to drive a van. And there's a lot of things they shouldn't have to worry about. They should have to worry about some because that's just the way it is when you're not at the top. But it could get better, and I think we need to see more progression when it comes to that. I don't see any progression. I see it going away the opposite direction. I think they need to fix that for their own product.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely for their benefit. You know, there's a lot of things I've always wondered about why doesn't Fell do this or that? Like when James Stewart couldn't get on the track or couldn't find a ride, why? I don't know if like Fell doesn't see it, or maybe they tried and it doesn't work, but why wouldn't you want to like make up a team and put James on it. I mean, the guy puts butts in the seats. I don't understand why a promotion company wouldn't want to put someone like James on the track. I mean, obviously that's come and gone. I'm not trying to say James for a comeback. You know, that horse has been beaten to death, but I'm just saying in general, I think it would definitely be something beneficial for Feld for them to get more involved in making sure certain riders get there, and especially privateers, because they definitely need them.
What do you know about, I was told that happened when Vicky Golden was trying to qualify. Do you know anything about that? I don't know if that's true or not. I heard that. Is that true?
That they paid her?
That they paid her way to a lot of the races, gave her special track time.
I did hear some of that. And I know that, you know, she never really made a night show. It's kind of a weird deal.
That's not true. Yes, she did.
She made one.
I forget, but she made one. She might have only beat two or three guys, but she did make one.
I think I remember that. But the first one she made, she didn't, and they made a big deal out of it.
She Ronnie Forded her way in, which, hey, if there's less than 40 dudes, you should be in. Unless there's a rule that AMA Road Racing had a rule. You had to be like 115% of the leader, or you couldn't race even if there wasn't enough guys. I do think we're at a point they need to do that. You know? Because then if they're not going to have enough guys trying, they need to definitely do that.
When you first said it, it didn't like ring a bell. But the more you talk about it, the more it does ring a bell that I did hear that she was being well taken care of to get to the races and try to get this done. And it makes sense. But more of that, I think, if I'm Feld, I'm doing more of that. There's no way James Stewart would have sat home for 2 years if I'm Feld.
Yeah, and I am in no way saying that's a negative thing. I'm saying that's a positive thing, and they should, like you said, be open about it and make it a position that strive for. Say, you know, anyone who scores points is eligible, and then they go through you're strictly by rank. Okay, if this guy passed on it because he has a ride, the guy below him gets it or has the option to jump on there. You know, and it just guarantees guys have something for sure. Bogle could just have a bike on there for sure. Dean wouldn't have to worry about finding his own. He could pit out of the field truck until he gets promoted.
Exactly.
It's just an option. Now, did you read the article I wrote this week about concussions?
I did. Good stuff.
What do you think of the TMS stuff? Just from what I wrote.
From what you wrote, it seems like something that's definitely positive and something that to look into. I think there needs to be more of this type of stuff and more. I mean, I would have never put together that something like this could help with post-concussion syndrome or anything like that. And I know that I'm definitely struggling with a ton of symptoms that you mentioned, and I would definitely love to check it out and maybe look into something like that around here. I just thought the article, what the best part of the article was just simply getting the conversation started. I think a lot of people have hinted towards the conversation or tried, but nobody's really made a genuine attempt to get the conversation going on a deep level. And I think that's the best thing that your article did, was open that conversation. It got it was on Vital. It was different places. It got shared, 100 times around Facebook, and it just really got the conversation going. And I think it's a conversation that needs to continue and needs to look at a lot of different ways to alleviate the problems that we have in this at the current time.
Yeah. And I will say I had a couple sleepless nights before this thing posted, because it's nerve wracking to put yourself out like I did. But the only way I thought it would work, I don't think you can do this and use someone else. Like, you have to get this first person. I can't say, oh, this helps somebody. I need to do it myself. It's not a magic bullet. Just because I do, like, this TMS therapy has been amazing for me. And it's not like an antidepressant where you instantly feel better. It makes me function more. It's crazy how I used to get really mad really easy sometimes. I would just be angry for no reason and just sad for no reason. And now I still feel that stuff, but I have to actually have something to make me sad. I have to, and I'm able to think through issues. My kids are they're loving it. They're like, wow, we can talk to you. And I'm like, God, I feel bad that I was an asshole, but I'm actually happy that I have a second chance at life. And like I said, it's not for everybody. I'm working with the Road to Recovery, trying to see if this is an option to make it available for former racers who are struggling with problems, because the amount of attention I got from other people that are having problems, I was blown away. I mean, I thought I'd get some, but I had no idea how many other people were struggling with those symptoms. And is it all because of concussions? I don't know. And this treatment's not just for a concussion, but I think, and this is my own personal, and there's not a ton of scientific data on it yet, but I think one of the biggest symptoms that's undiagnosed with chronic concussions is depression, just because the neural pathways are damaged slowly. So you never notice it. And you just think someone's depressed. And yeah, that's, yeah. So hopefully I'm going to put out a few more of these and document the whole process and keep, you know, trying to make the sport safer and better.
Yeah. I just hate to tell people that this is actually an answer or it's, I think there needs to be a lot more research and maybe some more time even with you before you know for sure that it works. I mean, there's that immediate, you know, effect of something good happening and something good being done. And that could be carrying with you. I don't know, but it's important that we have people out there like this company, working towards positive solutions to this problem in every sport, not just motocross, obviously, just post-concussion syndrome. And I think, I think that's the best thing is that this is just another option to look at that's obviously working for you, but I think we need more time to know how well it worked, obviously.
Totally agree. And if anyone wants to find out, it is hprtc.com, hprtreatmentcenters.com. The machine that I'm actually using, I'm on my 29th treatment today. It's called a NeuroStar, and it's just a transcranial magnetic stimulation. It's not completely without some side effects. I get a little bit nauseous. I'm kind of looking forward. The cool thing about this treatment is once I'm done, I'm done. This is 6 weeks and then I'm done. It's called remission. And it just, once it rewires it, you should be good to go. It's not something I have to do every year, but yeah, I definitely felt a little bit of dizzy, a little bit of headache, a little bit of nausea. I mean, nothing like an antidepressant would, but it's not symptom. There are some downsides to it.
Yeah. And there's going to be nothing's a cure all. I just think it's awesome that the conversation's open between this and pain pills. And a lot of those go together. It's two big problems we have that aren't addressed. And obviously, you know, we don't have retirement plans for these kids or for guys like you and I that did it most of our lives and never made a penny really doing it. It's just a sport we love and we need to get more people into it. And if we know there's treatments for just about everything in the end, it would help tremendously.
Yeah. And a lot of people in the sport are very, very careful about mentioning this stuff because they don't want to hurt the sport. Well,
yeah. Yeah.
I also don't want to hurt the sport, but I just disagree with the philosophy. I believe as a parent, I want to know the risks and then I'll make that judgment whether I can go from there. But I like to know the risks. And then, you know, if you know the risks and you know the options and you know there's, if I know my kid's going to do something dangerous and I can buckle him in and put a helmet on him and it gives him a way better chance, yeah, I'm likely to do it. But if nobody tells me about it, I get kind of pissed.
So. Yeah. And I think you hit the nail on the head with depression. I think that's definitely, I've definitely battled in and out with it on occasion. I think I would qualify. I've never been diagnosed with it or anything like that, but there's so many other symptoms that smack me in the face on the daily that because of treatments like this and because there's doctors looking into it, like right now when I go to the doctor, what I hear is, you could have CTE. You could, I mean, your brain could be affected by the concussions. I mean, I'll ask the doctor, hey, you know, I've had, you know, 10 plus concussions in my day and I can't remember what happened yesterday. And I literally, there's years of my life, Chris, that are just gone. And it's weird because I look back at them. There's roommates I've had for more than a year that I cannot remember their names. I'll go on Facebook and try to maybe I'll look this guy up. And there's nothing in my head about these people. Like they're just whole portions of my past have disappeared somewhere into my memory banks. And I'll ask doctors, you know, do you think that's maybe post-concussion? And well, it could be. I mean, it makes sense.
That's the funny thing about the more research I did, the more inconsistent, anytime somebody says something about the brain, there's somebody else that says something didn't happen about it. Like it's all disputed. They don't know shit about your brain. They really don't. The guys that know the very most will tell you, we don't know shit. Two people hit their heads. One will have symptoms, one won't. They don't know why. They really don't. You know, it's scary and crazy, but it's definitely something that I wanted to open up and just, you know, like I said, I know there's other people suffering. I've lost three of my friends that weren't names in, you know, in addition to the guys we mentioned, to Swink, Motes, and was it all because of that? I don't know. But there's too many people that it's not some sort of connection.
Oh, there's definitely a connection. And obviously Tyler struggled with the other taboo topic in the sport, opiates. And
they're directly related. So what happens is your dopamine production is lower because of concussions or whatever else is going on in your brain. Then you take a pain pill. I remember when it changed for me. It sometime around my probably early to mid 30s, I took a pain pill and I was like, ooh, I haven't felt good. Like I didn't feel high. I felt like happy.
I agree.
It was weird. And so you're more susceptible. That doesn't justify pain pill addiction. There's multiple reasons. There's as many reasons for this as there is that we lost the designation, but yeah.
Yeah. That's still a topic in my head. What the fuck happened?
A lot happened. A lot.
We're not going to go back into that. But no, what the not. Fuck happened?
We're not. Not one thing. A lot.
USA.
Onto more USA. Positive things. Hey, an American won the straight rhythm.
This is true. An American on a two-stroke. I mean, come on. It's no more American than that.
Dude, so we're going to move on to straight rhythm here and the two-strokes. And I was watching it. My daughter said the funniest thing. When Shane McElrath took his helmet off, she's like, how old is that guy? Is he like 50?
He's looked that way since he was 19.
I know, but it reminded me of the Dean Wilson skit that he just recently did with the old man. That's Shane McElrath's real life.
Dean Wilson won the internet, by the way, with that. I mean, hands down, period. He's my hero. And it's just, to me, it's just more reason. What the fuck? Why isn't he on a team? I mean, how does he not have a ride?
Good question. You think KTM would rather have him than Cooper Webb right now?
Yes. But they tried that already. It didn't work out real well, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's an injury. It wasn't like he didn't have the skill, though.
No. I mean, we never really got to see on the KTM. I mean, I think he raced maybe four races in those 2 years, five races.
Yeah, well, the Husky's basically a KTM, and he looked pretty good on it. And he got hurt last year there, too. He had a torn labrum all last year. The crash he had at Anaheim, dude, that was nasty. And I think people forget that I thought he was probably done forever when I saw that crash happen.
Yeah, I was right there too. But let's not get off track. Red Bull Straight Rhythm. We'll talk about Dino later. But
sorry, yeah, Dean just he's fun to talk about. That is an awesome dude.
Yeah.
What did you think of, dude, how cool was it seeing Villopoto and Dungey go head-to-head? And they were fired up. There was no holding back on that race.
The best race, hands down, was RV Grant. And those two hate each other. They've never gotten along since amateurs. I don't think they get along now. But even if they do, neither one of those guys was leaving anything on that track. Like there was a different posture in RV. There was a different posture in JG. They were both so going for it. That was, to me, the best race of the weekend.
I'll just go ahead and say everybody was like that with Villopoto. Dungey was like that with Villopoto. Jordan Smith really didn't want to lose to him. You could see guys just he was definitely wearing a big target on him.
Nobody wanted
to lose to Villopoto.
You mentioned Dungey. Like, I thought that too, because the announcer kept asking Ryan, like, you know, what do you think about this? Dungey, that is, of the Ryans. You know, and he kept saying over and over, oh, this doesn't matter. It's not a big deal. It's fun. I'm glad we're here. But it was like he was trying to talk himself into it. But the minute he put that helmet on, and I remember she tried to talk to him again, he was not having it. He was so focused. And yeah, he was, the minute that helmet went on, with especially against RV, Dungey was a different character.
Dude, Dungey cracks me up. Have you ever seen those word puzzles where there's like a paragraph and you just plug somebody's name in, like the scripts when they call you for telemarketing?
Yeah.
I feel like he's got one of those memorized and he was trying to use that same script for straight rhythm. Like my marks, my lap. I'm like, dude, I want him to let it go. And he has sometimes. I'm like, just at this point, I just have to laugh. I'm like, you're retired, man.
He hasn't let it go. Not even a little. No. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if that dude comes out of retirement.
I mean, I wouldn't either, but I would think more just for outdoors. I just think Supercross started scaring him.
Well, I don't know. Looking at him, that dude looks, you know, the whole, you know, I was just talking earlier about the Alden Baker look, that skinny, in shape, I could run a triathlon tomorrow look. Dungy's got it.
Oh, yeah, he's still got it. Yeah, he's definitely still in great shape, and he's, I don't know. I see RV coming back more than I do Dungy, but what I would love to see is Dungy, that switch go off that went off with RV, where he just decided, hey, I'm going to show the fans who I really am. Because I know a lot of people that know Dungy behind the scenes, and he's a different character. I mean, he's completely different. Like, night and day different. Yeah. And I'd love to see that, because I hear he's funny. I hear he's fun, and he's definitely different than what we see.
Yeah, and I've seen glimpses of it. I mean, he yelled at me in a press conference, and that wasn't the aw shucks Dungy that he'd kind of put out there.
No, that was the fierce competitor Dungy, yeah.
Yeah, I like him. I would love it if he came back and did exactly what Villopoto is doing and just drop the facade, just have some fun and go racing, which I believe that's what the guys, to make money in this era, you're going to have to do that. You need, with brand recognition, I mean, I don't know how much Just One is paying Joey Savacci, but if he opened himself up and was more genuine, I promise he would get more from wherever he's going because he's so good. Okay, back.
I don't get that, because with Joey, man, he's always been a really good interview with me. I mean, I'm obviously not, you know, some of the major players in the media, but I mean, I get reads, and I think that his interviews have always been really good. I don't understand.
It's the podium reads. It's not, maybe it's not the interviews, but it's the podium reads. You get a couple questions, and I don't know if Mitch is doing it to his guys or what, but for whatever reason, he doesn't come across good. And it's not fair. It sucks for Joey. And I wish he could fix it. If I was his publicist, I would just tell him, like, dude, no more sponsor reads. You're just going to maybe let's go do a stand-up routine over here. We're going to do open mic night and get you loosened up a little bit and just talk, be yourself, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever, you know, seen the real Joey, but he's always been really open, and he's never answered my questions with answers I felt were canned or just the regular standard rehearsed response. He seems to, you know, always be really open and honest. And, you know, I feel sorry for him because he's getting a bad rap, and I can name a few people that are giving it to him. And then you have this thing with Tomac that I don't know if that will help. I mean, some people loved it, some people hated it. But no matter what, I mean, Joey didn't come out looking good to anybody in that situation.
Dude, and I there's nothing he could do. He had to do that. You win, the head guy on the team, you just cost him $900,000. And if you lose, everyone gets mad. Like I said, my only thing, and in hindsight, it's easy. I'm sure they didn't discuss it beforehand because I don't think anyone thought he'd be the guy leading. Just, you know, you lean down and look like you're checking your gas, like you've got a problem. Then everyone knows, because it's the ego why he pointed. He wanted us all to know he won that race. Yeah. Even when he did that, people still said, oh, they would have got it. He was not getting past.
I think no chance. There's no way. But, because he had slowed down so much before that.
Yeah. Slow down. Look at your bike like you're looking down. Yeah. My brother did it for me. He pulled over a couple times. That's how he used to do it. You know. Because he would always DNF the first moto because he was crazy, and I would always get a decent result. And he was fast, so he'd be in the lead, and I'd be like, dude, let me by if you're behind. You know, and sure enough, he'd do it.
Yeah,
we had some parents pretty pissed at us, but oh well.
I mean, Joey Savacci's last lap was 1:14. I mean, and he was running 1:10s. 105 was his best lap, was 9 seconds faster.
When I saw the 106, the lap before the last, I looked over, I was sitting with Berluti, and I go, Berluti's letting him by. And he's like, yep.
I'm like you. I don't think he had a choice. I think he's got to let him by. But he shouldn't have waved. I think Kawasaki and everybody else would have looked at the results and seen that You know, he backed down a bunch. Maybe he did it so he can fight for his win bonus for that. I don't know if they give win bonuses per motos. I know they do in the Triple Crowns. I don't know how it is for Monster Cup, but I would think they get something.
I'm just really, really, really happy that Feld and Monster are paying that money and it wasn't insured. Because if it was insured, that could have got really ugly.
It would have gotten ugly. Not could have. It would have.
Yeah. So I'm glad it didn't do that. And yeah. So back to Straight Rhythm. What was the word on Ronnie Mack? Did you hear?
I don't know. But when they put him on TV with Sal Masekela, he was so fucking hammered. Not
Are you
like
sure?
Ronnie.
And he wasn't faking it?
Not Ronnie Mack like faking hammered. He was fucking hammered. And even Masekela, did you watch that part?
Yeah, but I don't know why, but I wasn't really paying attention. I was doing something.
Sal looked pissed off to me. Like, what the fuck is this guy doing here? Like, Sal looked genuinely like, why is this guy here?
Well, fuck Sal. Sal shouldn't be there.
I get it. But Ronnie looked genuinely hammered to me. I don't know. I guess he broke his... something. He broke... He's injured. I know that. Ankle, okay. Maybe? Ankle or wrist, one of those appendages or one of those joints.
Oh, yeah. And that whole event with moving everybody onto two strokes, the level was high. I mean, a guy that won last year went out in the first round easily.
Yeah. And I knew that was going to happen. I knew there's no way Stank Dog could do what he did last year.
No, that was lightning in a bottle and good for Stank Dog. But yeah, he was going for it, man. And he ate shit pretty hard over that finish line.
Pretty cool. He got his number one play. He got all kinds of airplay and promotion, and they definitely played him up like any other champion to be going in. If James won last year, he got the same kind of coverage that James would have gotten coming into this year as the defending champ, which I thought was super sick.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I like that. And yeah, well, we're going to have to talk about Mr. Irrelevant next year because he'll have that number one plate. McElrath, the guy we just keep forgetting to mention.
did them being on 300s bother you at all?
No, I don't give a shit. I don't think there should even be a limit on it. They were going to let Bowers ride a 500. Who cares?
Yeah, I know. It's
as soon as they approve the 500, you guys should all know, like, okay, you can run pretty much whatever you brung.
Yeah, I felt like RV was getting yarded, though. I mean, just
everybody, other than those four KTMs, everybody was.
Yeah, the starts were amazing. Like, Marias was amazing, just in the way how well he rode. But Jesus, was his bike fast.
Dude, those four bikes were so fast, all the KTMs. Yeah, it was impressive, and it was probably hard to beat those guys. Well, not probably. It was ridiculously hard to beat those guys.
But yeah, I was surprised RV beat Smith, to be honest. That was awesome.
Yeah, it's RV. Yeah, he's a bad dude.
Yeah.
And he's pretty good shape. You know, we got the OzX Open coming here pretty soon. What do you you think he's going to do anything there?
No, I don't know. I mean, we have, what is that, Anderson, Chad Reed, Dino,
Brayton Metcalf.
And I don't know. Is it? I don't remember. I remember they moved to this stadium before, I think. But isn't this like a full-on Supercross?
I don't know.
I think it is. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how RV will do. I mean, he did decent before. He won a heat race. I think it was last year, the year before. But I think you got to give the race to Anderson.
Yeah, he's definitely the guy to beat. I mean, he's defending champ. He might even be the guy to beat coming into Anaheim. I know I'm leaning towards Tomac just because he just looks savage and he's won so many races. But don't sleep on Anderson. I mean, he, between Anderson, Tomac, Roczen, and Muskin, I would just throw a dart. What do you think?
I don't really know. It's a tough one. I'm gonna probably waffle a little here, but Anderson didn't look great at Monster Cup. I think Eli and Marvin both still have him covered speed-wise. I think we have some new people coming in that could mix it up. I don't see Jason repeating. So that's I'd have to give the edge to Tomac or Marvin, but I think someone else might even step up. It's still wide open. It really kind of is. It's neat.
I feel like we're heading into 1990 all over again.
Yeah, it's weird. It's really wide open, and I think it's really cool. I think we have a couple guys that have the most speed, kind of like in 90. We had RJ and guys that had a little more speed than other people, but or not RJ in 90, Bradshaw in 90.
Yeah, but RJ was there, but that was broken wrist RJ. It just wasn't the same.
Yeah, no.
Hey, a couple off-season topics I wanted to ask you about. Seven Deuce Deuce. He no longer is a Seven Deuce Deuce. He got a national number, and he's going to be on a Suzuki and an FXR gear.
Mr. Hep, I'm not going to recognize him. No more fly gear, no more Seven Deuce Deuce. I assume he's going to have like something on his plate that says Seven Deuce Deuce, or maybe even on the back of his shirt. I mean, that's his rap name, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's always the Seven Deuce Deuce. I don't care what number he runs. I say, you know what? And obviously, you know, I'm slightly partial to fly.
yes.
It hurts to see him in a different brand. But you got to do what you got to do to keep your career alive. And if that's what it takes, go for it, my man.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's never had any real support. I mean, is Fly going to give him a rig and a mechanic and take him to all the races? It's a good spot for him.
You'd have to ask Fly, my man. Oh,
I know Fly. I mean, I know Fly's going to miss him. That's for sure.
Oh, and, are you kidding? Yeah, absolutely.
But who else is on that team? Alex Ray, that's right.
And, yeah, I don't know. I don't know about Alex Ray. Is he going to live through to make it to the season? I mean, he's scary, dude. I saw more gigantic crashes with him than probably everyone else in the series combined. I mean, I would just watch him for a while just because it's so entertaining.
But the dude just hops right up. I mean, he's
a
beast.
How?
Yeah, I've seen him ragdoll and just you think it's over, and he's on his feet and he's kicking his bike.
Yeah, hey, good for him. I hope he stays all right, and he's fun to watch. You know, I hope it works out for him. And then I hear Justin Bogle to the former Arena Cross team. They're calling it Phoenix Honda. Do you know anything about that?
I just probably what you know. I mean, the rumors about it. I don't know much about it. I did hear that team was coming over here, though, but isn't like Blos going to be on that team, too?
Don't know. Okay. All I heard, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to try and find out a little more about that. But I thought that when Alex Ray left Cycle Trader, I thought he left because Bogle was going there. That was what I originally had heard.
And then I had originally heard that Bogle was possibly going to HEP, too. And same with Grant. Like, so it's...
Huh.
Yeah, I've heard a couple people, big names, rumored to go into HEP, and then all of a sudden it was Enoch Knapp and Ray. Not that they're small names, there's anything wrong, but I'm talking more like a second-tier top 10 guy.
I love what HEP Suzuki's doing.
Dustin
Pipes is kicking ass with the program. He might be a way better manager than he is. I mean, he was a great rider, don't get me wrong. If you can make a main event, you're one hell of a bad dude.
Yeah.
But he might be able to go next level with this team owner thing.
Yeah, it's a good fit for him. I always liked that kid, too.
And I like the way he talks to his guys. I don't know if you've seen him over there when he's interacting with them.
I haven't.
I mean, he's one of the boys. You can see they clearly respect who he is, but, you know, I think this might be his deal. I really like it. And then if you had to guess, where's Dino going?
Rockstar-backed, Husqvarna, no team, out of a Sprinter van. And the first guy called when a factory rider goes down. You know, there was that video of him riding every bike, but I don't know if what his deal, because I know Rockstar is still with him. I don't know what his deal is, if they've said, you know, you have to ride a Husky, or if they're giving him options, everything. But I saw that video where he went and rode everything, so they must be giving him an option.
Yeah, and he said he's not going to take stuff from people because he wants to be available for the first big-time position that's up.
Oh, and he'll definitely be the first person called if he stays healthy.
Yeah, well, he'll call them after a reasonable amount of time that it's not inconsiderate, but yeah.
Yeah.
And then, dude, some other really, really big industry news regarding Alta, the electric bike. They ceased operations and they're up for sale. Did you see that?
Yeah, but I think that's, I mean, yes, they're up for sale and they ceased operations, but I think this is more of maybe a move. I don't know much about, you know, this funding stuff and the behind the scenes stuff, but I've been told it's more of a move to try to gather funding. I don't know what they call that, like A funding or B funding, or one of their fundings ran out. So I assume they'll be back soon. I mean, come on, how can they not be?
Yeah, and it was kind of the kiss of death when Harley partnered with them. Because look at, if you just pull up the history, put Harley partner, and you'll find about five companies that went out of business.
Why is that?
I don't know, but don't partner with Harley. If you want to keep your business running, don't partner with Harley. Clearly, it doesn't work out in the long term. They pull out, and they leave you holding the bag. Yeah, I would never partner with them unless I wanted to just get out of them. Unless I wanted to get out. but I truly believe, I think Harley, and my, from what I found out about this, and I don't know, like I say, when something like this happens, there's so much real stuff floating and fake stuff. You don't know unless you're really, really involved or probably a financial investor. But they were left really upside down after that fell apart, and they just couldn't afford to keep day-to-day operations going. And the only way they possibly could keep it going forward is they have patents on some technology that they're so far ahead of every other manufacturer out there that they are having essentially a bidding war to see who can get it. And I look for KTM or Honda to probably end up with their technology.
That would be great, I think, for electrics if that happened. Or it could be like the car industry, where car companies that want to continue to make, you know, gas guzzlers will buy technology and then squash it so it never makes it out. That's what I hope doesn't happen. Is it somebody?
I was going to say that would be horrific.
Yeah, somebody gets this technology just to keep it away from the general public, which happens in a lot of industries.
It does.
Yeah,
it absolutely does. And I think if that would be a crying shame, because Alta could be, you know, an electric can be a supplement to gas. You could have tracks and anywhere you want. Anyone with land can have a track now. That doesn't mean it's going to take place of a gas machine or the performance or the racing, but it'd be really nice to have a track where I just an arena cross track with electric bikes, and then you go out to the big track on the weekend and you're in shape and dialed in.
Dude, you go down to any BMX track and just go practice. I mean, you can go anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere you can put a BMX track, you can have a motocross track. You can't combine them, obviously, because you'll shred it, and good luck with the BMX guys. They're dead if that happens.
Yeah,
but yeah, I totally get that point.
It's so amazing. Like, I think they're going to take over. If in the right hands, I think they take over.
I would agree, and I've said that, and I flew out to their place a couple years ago and test rode the bikes and walked through their facility. And they are some smart guys, and I would be shocked if this is the end of those guys. I'm sure whoever purchases them, they're going to have, and I'm sure that people have already tried to buy them, but if somebody's going to squash it, I don't think they'll sell to them.
I hope not. But then again, you really, I mean, unless you write it into the contract, a stipulation that says they can't, you really don't know what anybody's going to do once they get your company. Durham didn't look very good on it, though. And they, over the years, they've had some great riders riding it, but Durham sure didn't do the Alta justice at Straight Rhythm.
Yeah, and he didn't have the team of technicians there like Josh Hill did.
Oh, he didn't? I didn't know that part.
No, well, they kind of, it was just, it wasn't quite the effort. And Durham, I don't know, man. Some days he's there, some days he's not. I really question a lot of his life decisions, maybe.
I saw in your notes, Chris, just so the listeners know, Cooksey will send me a note of what we're talking about during the podcast. And one of them says, the shit talking. Did Villopoto go too far? What do you mean go too far?
Did you not see the post he put with Jordan Smith going off on like an ambulance after he got knocked out at Vegas?
It was awesome.
That's pretty poor taste, man. The dude was, I don't know. Then he should have sent one back of Villopoto going off with a broken leg. And
you do understand that these guys were given an email at sign up with instructions on what they were to do, and shit talking was literally, they were asked to do this by Red Bull.
I know. Yeah. And I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. Might have gone a little too far, Villopoto.
I thought it was awesome. I thought it was perfect, and I think even Jordan took it okay.
He did. It is what it is. And you know what I was disappointed in? And I'm pissed that – do you know Jeremy Mallott from Red Bull?
I don't. I've never met the guy.
Jeremy, get a hold of us. The media outlets had bikes. Please call us. MotoXaddicts.com. Dan Lamb.
I got a 125 in my garage.
We got a 125 guy. We want to participate. I was disappointed in the participation from the media outlets other than Pulp MX. I will hats off to Steve Mathis. He went all in, did it the way you're supposed to do it.
McAdoo was badass, too.
He was a badass, and Steve was on there promoting it. I mean, it made me cringe and laugh every time he said he was going to ram it up their asses, but he went all in, and I will hats off to Steve Mathis on that one. He did it. I want to be a part of that and do it the right way. I think if you can put a little sticker on or you don't even show up, I guess the prize money was $5,000. Steve should have got all that because nobody else participated.
Yeah, it was cool to see. And yeah, his rider crushed it. I was impressed. Didn't he beat Grant one race too?
Yep.
Yeah.
He was, I think so. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he did.
Pretty sure he did too.
Yeah.
Well, if he didn't, he did now. We'll just say it. Yeah, we'll just call it like that.
So. I'm pretty sure he did. But he rode. He was the surprise of the event. Well, Marias was actually for me, but second to Marias.
Killing me with that Marias. It's Morris.
Well, why is it? Well, all right.
It's spelled wrong, but his name's Morris.
I know that's what they've always said, but I've always called him by his spelling. No. So okay.
The people who say it the right way call it Morris.
Okay. I'm gonna have to ask Ryan.
Listen, you're crack on me on spelling, so I'm gonna crack on you on pronunciation.
Pretty it's sure Morris. I still have his number. I'll text him and find
him. Call him. It's Ryan Morris. Just like it's Aaron Plessinger, not Plessinger. Plessinger. So we'll leave it at that. All right, Dan, anything else you want to talk about?
No, not really. I think we're all good. We've got, what do we have coming up? Anything we can talk about? I guess we already talked about the Australian Open. Yeah, I think we're good. We covered everything you got in here. Reed, JGR thing, still nothing there that I know of. Do you know of anything with Reed?
Nothing new. I hear it's everyone wants to. There's no money. I just don't see it not getting done. With that said, the longer we go, the less likely it gets done.
Yeah. Yeah. And the less likely he's, you know, prepared. And I know that he has a bike and I know he has all that. But without knowing for sure where you're at, your head needs time.
Well, and Jake Weimer said it best a couple of years ago when he was filling in. He's like, listen, I did the program exactly like I was going to be there. But when you don't know you're going to be there, it's just different. That intensity, that mind preparation, it's just not the same if you're not positive you're going to be there. Chad's a different case because he's so mentally strong. But it'll be better once it's solidified and he knows he's going racing.
Yeah, I agree.
So, all right then. Well, we're gonna keep doing these throughout the off season whenever I can get Dan to call me back.
Fair enough.
And we'll try and keep everyone in. Obviously, we're not doing power rankings. We'll go back to that during the regular season. And we may even branch this off and do a, I don't know, what do we call it? Breaking Shit Down podcast or whatever we do. But we're gonna keep everyone updated on any off-season trash talk, updated rides, Dan's spoiled food, or whatever else we feel like. So I just made that one up.
I don't even know where that came from.
I don't either. So time to wrap it up then. So, all right, guys. Well, until next time, guys. Stay out of jail.